is Lifeline, Melvin Munn from Dallas, with Freedom Talk number 46. The image of the United States abroad is important, and recent activities by some members of the Peace Corps volunteers would not be calculated to promote understanding of our country, nor do they reflect the policies and beliefs of the government which is paying them. Some of their actions have been such that our foreign policy is being questioned and our international stance tarnished. The Peace Corps needs renovation, a house cleaning, to get rid of those who are damaging this country in the eyes of host countries. And one organization which supposedly protects liberties of the people is working hardest for radical leftists and for those who question religion. There are some surprising cases in the file of this organization. This is Freedom Talk number 46, and you may order printed copies at the rate of 3 for 25 cents from Lifeline. Subscribe to Lifelines, our 3 times a week liberty paper. Send $5, money, order, or check for a year's subscription to Lifelines, 156 issues. Order from Lifeline, Dallas, Texas, 75206. I'll be back after this message from our sponsor.
You need 3 things for a good meal. Hungry folks, HLH shoestring potatoes, and HLH pork and beans. All you really need provided are hungry people, because HLH has already made up the finest pork and beans you've ever served, hot or cold, and the crispest, freshest shoestring potatoes you could ever find. HLH shoestrings stay crisp and fresh because you don't open the can until everyone's ready to eat. And HLH pork and beans and HLH shoestring potatoes are good eating anytime. Look for the other HLH products, too, the next time you shop, such as HLH instant mashed potato flakes. Tell somebody today where to buy HLH food.
The idea behind the Peace Corps undoubtedly had much merit, and in its early days it probably helped to bolster the image of the United States in some of the countries to which corpsmen went. The Peace Corps, of course, is that haven for idealistic people, mostly young folks just out of college, who desire to be of special service to their fellow man. The objective of the Peace Corps has been to expose people of other nations to these idealistic Americans, and for these Americans, working with and through the governments of the countries to which they have been sent, to seek to improve economic, health, and educational conditions for the people of these other nations. As one would expect, the people of these host nations believe that the Peace Corps folk are typical Americans, that they represent the rank and file of the people in the United States. In view of some of the more recent antics of Peace Corpsmen in a dozen countries, this is unfortunate. The Peace Corps has been liberally infiltrated by youthful revolutionaries who have demonstrated both against policies of the government they were supposed to represent and against the policies of their host governments. Some of these young American revolutionists and idealists want to remake the world and its governments into a form they believe desirable, whether the world and the national governments thereof want to be remade. In other words, some of the Peace Corps people have literally become political crusaders. In fact, some of them are openly trying to destroy the government and the institutions of the nation they represent. The behavior of some Peace Corpsmen has been so flagrantly out of line with its supposed policies and objectives, and with those of this nation, that they have been asked in not very polite terms by their host countries to leave. A recent column written by Richard Wilson is quite revealing regarding the activities of the Peace Corps. He comments, "The President, the Vice President, and the Secretary of State have now had enough experience with the high spirits of the politically turbulent Peace Corps to wonder if this experiment in spreading America's youthful idealism over the world has not gotten badly off the tracks. To be quite blunt about it, Secretary of State William T. Rogers and Vice President Spiro T. Agnew have been acutely embarrassed by demonstrations of Peace Corpsmen against United States policy." He goes on to say, "There would be little or no official disappointment in the executive branch if Congress should see fit to cut the Peace Corps budget rather drastically." Then he resumes, "Activities of Peace Corpsmen in a dozen countries have held up to public calumny the policies of a country they are supposed to represent. They have done so in Ethiopia, Liberia, Tunisia, Afghanistan, Chile, Peru, Kenya, Niger, Turkey, Brazil, Thailand, and Togo. In some cases, such as Ethiopia, the corpsmen have fanned youthful discontent with existing governments, protested the existing social order, and in general have placed a heavy strain on American relations with host governments. Rogers returned from his recent African trip badly out of sorts over the behavior of Peace Corpsmen who had exposed black armbands, snorted their disapproval, and turned their backs on him as he expounded American policy at the United States Embassy." Agnew was cross-examined on whether or not the Peace Corpsmen, as represented representatives of the United States government were expressing hostile attitudes hidden beneath the surface of American friendship and cooperation. Underlying the political activism of members of the Peace Corps is a strange court decision out of Rhode Island, which holds that the Peace Corps members are not government officials or representatives of the United States government, but are volunteers financed by the government and therefore have all the rights and privileges of private citizens. This court decision then supports the idea that if they wish to protest the Vietnam War, the pace of integration, the military-industrial complex, the ABM, or any high official, they cannot be disciplined because it would be a denial of their rights as private American citizens. If they wish to denounce the government of the United States and its policies, or that of the country in which they are serving, that should be of no concern to the Peace Corps, the court stated. Such acts, however, are in violation of Peace Corps rules. Mr. Wilson goes on to say, the present administrator, Joseph H. Blatchford, is trying to weed out the young activists and slowly convert the Peace Corps to a more stable and responsible condition with people who are older and have skills useful to the economic and social structure of developing countries. But it is a hopeless task. The Corps has a huge overlay, 90%, of liberal arts idealists, mostly teachers of English, and cadres of protest-minded youth whose ideas are incompatible both with U.S. policy and the policies of the countries where they serve. The present administration has not recommended the end of the Peace Corps program, for they seem to believe there is a place for an organization operating under the original format and with basic idealism. But many of the young people of today seem to prefer activity on campuses and in street demonstrations to sound and solid service to their country and to their fellow man. Mr. Wilson further comments, no harm would be done to U.S. policy abroad if a move for a sharp cutback in funds for operation of the Peace Corps should arise in Congress. This would afford an opportunity for a new beginning or a worldwide shakedown of the Corps to make it a more useful instrument of U.S. foreign policy, or at least not be a disruptive influence. There is something to be said, too, for going back to the purposes and method of the old Point 4 program, which originated in the Truman administration to give technical aid and support in the development of the United Nations. The idea that the Peace Corps should be an outlet for the idealistic drive of American youth, their high spirits, dedication, and sacrifice, spreading light into places of darkness, seems pathetically innocent in today's world. Not so much because the world has changed, as because youth's concept of its mission has changed. This is Freedom Talk number 46, printed copy 3 for 25 cents from Lifeline. Some light is shed on the American Civil Liberties Union after this message from our Lifeline sponsor.
The quest for soft, beautiful...
Troy Jones, president of the Chamber of Commerce of the United States and one of the nation's most prominent newspaper editors, recently unveiled some of the activities of the American Civil Liberties Union, an organization whose antics in recent years have caused increasing interest in it by those who are concerned over the future of our country. Mr. Jones judges and supports his claims with documented facts that the ACLU is much more concerned with furthering liberal causes and protecting those of the far left than those of the more conservative mind. Here are some of Mr. Jones' comments. Once in a sapphire moon, the ACLU, to the squeal of pipes and the rustle of drums, turns to the aid of some effervescing super patriot, usually the nuttier the better. These instances are carefully recorded and are periodically trotted across the stage to prove that ACLU is even-handed. The casebook tells a different story. For example, here's a sampling of recent ACLU legal interventions. Supporting the showing of the movie I Am Curious Yellow, which had been declared obscene by a Maryland court. Challenging the conviction of a defendant who had burnt his draft card on the grounds that this was merely a symbolic protest against war. Arguing the unconstitutionality of the Customs Act, which prohibits importation of obscene materials from abroad. Supporting the right to make political speeches, conduct demonstrations, and distribute leaflets on military bases on the grounds that these include public areas. Supporting the Yippie defendants on trial in Chicago for riots during the Democratic Convention on the grounds that the Anti-Riot Act violates the constitutional rights of freedom of speech and travel. Supporting as a constitutional exercise of free speech, 8 Grinnell College students who took all their clothes off during an open meeting. Supporting Professor Angela Davis, bowed communist philosophy professor at UCLA, against efforts to remove her. applauding the victory of the ACLU unit in Oregon in getting local courts to order the removal of a 51-foot illuminated cross in a public park overlooking the city of Eugene, Oregon. Apparently, a publicly paid professor teaching communism on public property is preferable to a donated silent cross. Asking the Colorado Supreme Court to declare possession of marijuana legal, supporting a former Peace Corps volunteer who was dismissed for sending a letter to a Chilean newspaper protesting that he had not been allowed to make statements on Vietnam, also supporting him in his subsequent refusal to answer a draft call. Demanding that the University of Wisconsin readmit 90 black students who were expelled after they had seized the president's office and destroyed property. These are just a few of the interventions by ACLU which are worthy of note. They also challenged the validity of the arrest of Yippie leader Abby Hoffman when he appeared at a hearing of the House Committee on Un-American Activities in a shirt made of stars and stripes, and they have recommended the taxing of all church property, even though it is used solely for religious purposes. The American Civil Liberties Union, like many other organizations, has a high-sounding name, one which attracts support from the kind and the generous who think that it is solely interested in protecting the basic American rights and freedoms and preventing persecution of individuals by unjust court decisions and actions. But Mr. Jones concludes, kind little old ladies still giving money to the ACLU under the impression that it is protecting the liberties of us all might step down to 156 Fifth Avenue, the offices of the ACLU, and ripple through this outfit's highly selective outrages. They'd have a fascinating afternoon. The people of America do need protection against the occasional times when justice goes awry and injustice results. But these cases are not as numerous as some would lead you to believe. In the main, courts have leaned over backward to protect the rights of the individual as opposed to the rights of the public or of the society. And we seriously doubt the wisdom of supporting an organization which spends most of its energies in support of yippies, student rioters, anti-Vietnam protesters, draft card burners, and anti-religious actions. This is Freedom Talk number 46, printed copy, 3 for 25 cents. I'll be back after this message. On the page, men must be alert to protect the basic rights and liberties valued so highly by the individual person and guaranteed by our Constitution. This is Freedom Talk number 46, Lifeline, Dallas, Texas, 75206.
The views on the preceding program, Lifeline, are those of the sponsor. If a checking